And we're back on Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM. And while we were getting all ready to do this big interview with David Lindorf, Dave Lindorf is a columnist, writer, author. He writes for Counterpunch and a number of other publications. I think he even has a book coming out, and we're hoping to speak with him, but we seem to be having communication difficulties today, and we're going to be speaking with David Lindorf about his recent article on the murder of Dr. George Tiller, who had been performing late-term abortions for women with serious medical conditions. In fact, Jessica had done a lot of research. She got all ready and everything, but we're all dressed up and nowhere to go. Isn't that right?
Exactly. I even put my face on today. I was so excited. Even though he can't see me, I wanted to put lipstick on, you know, just to talk to such a distinguished author.
Yes, well, and I guess we'll just have to wait on Dave. But, you know, I mean, you had done all this research. You even wrote an op-ed for the university newspaper, right?
Yes, I have. I was really shocked at this murder and that these things are still going on today. And just all the misinformation and all the just noise that's on the American media regarding this case. It really angered me as a woman.
Yes, and I know that this is an issue that you've gone in depth in. Now, one of the things that's been bandied about on the radio, but perhaps not enough, is there's organizations that are getting radical elements like the murderer of Dr. Tiller to be active on these issues, to get angry about things. So, I mean, there's like that Operation Rescue, for one, right?
Yes, there's Operation Rescue. There's a myriad of other organizations that are out there. And unfortunately, they're really accepted in the mainstream media. And they bandy about a lot of terms such as partial birth abortion and whatnot, and misinformation about Dr. Tiller claiming that he would perform abortions on women with, you know, just headaches or that were feeling blue.
Okay, wait. So, like, they would say, they would actually put out literature or something that would say, Dr. Tiller will give an abortion to a woman just because she has, like, a headache.
Well, in fact, it wasn't just Operation Rescue that said this. This was on Bill O'Reilly's show. He would say these type of things. In fact, he had Dr. Tiller shows about Dr. Tiller 28 times, and the headline would be Dr. Tiller the Baby Killer.
Right. So wait, you have a confluence here. You have like a convergence of agenda, because you've got groups like Operation Rescue and other groups, and then they're working together with Bill O'Reilly and Fox News and so forth.
Yes, they're all over the place, and their propaganda is used as fact by these media outlets. When in fact, Dr. Tiller, the real fact is that you needed two doctors to sign off on a late term abortion, and it had to be for serious medical condition. There are a lot of women that have written their stories online. They had terrible deformities with their babies, that they were going to be born stillborn, or there were also, on the other hand, there were 10-year-old girls that had been raped and they didn't know they were pregnant until late term, and he would perform these procedures on them because their bodies couldn't physically give birth to babies.
Now, you know, people hype up the degree to which Fox News might foster misconceptions or get people angry. Certainly on The Daily Show or the Colbert Report, they'll always point out, you know, crazy people like what, Glenn Beck and so on Fox News. But my question is, how, you know, to what degree are they actually putting out the same kind of hate or propaganda that you would see in a radical anti-abortion organization?
Well, Bill O'Reilly on his show sort of weaved this web of conspiracy regarding Dr. Tiller. He had claimed that Dr. Tiller bought off politicians such as Kathleen Sebelius, and in turn judges were not finding him criminally negligent because of this. And he sort of made it seem like these corrupt government officials were letting this man kill babies and murder babies. And after Dr. Tiller was dead, he still continued on with these sort of ridiculous statements, claiming that he said that he was very sorry that Dr. Tiller was dead because violence is the answer, but he had still killed 60,000 fetuses.
So they were retroactively justifying a murder.
Basically, yes. And he said that he had killed 60,000 future American citizens. In fact, he didn't even use the word fetus.
So he's basically saying, well, yeah, this abortion doctor got killed, but like he killed all these potential Americans.
Well, yes. And I think we were talking about this before, that the media has been having interviews with this killer, with this man that shot Dr. Tiller. Mr. Lindorf's article was really sort of saying that in many ways these people are terrorists, and in, you know, if someone say in Pakistan had committed a similar act, they wouldn't be interviewing them on the radio show and sort of making them justifying.
In the case of the murderer of Dr. Tiller, I mean, he gets interviews, right? They've talked to him, they've put him on TV, and the last question's like, what would cause him to do this? So they're humanizing him.
Well, and they're also talking about his plight in prison. There have been a couple of puff pieces on how terrible the conditions are in prison. And they're sort of making him less than a criminal because, you know, he's supposedly some sort of upstanding Christian. And he just did this, you know, because he really felt that he needed to save these babies.
Well, I guess that's one aspect of it. The other is they're kind of justifying his agenda, right? And it's not just in the right-wing media, but in the just generally, because they'll start asking questions like, well, should we have late-term abortion? They'll reopen the debate. They'll start talking about the very issues that the murderer hoped to bring attention to by killing the abortion doctor.
Well, yes, and even the politicians, such as President Obama, you know, he condemned these this murder, but he also said, you know, we need to find a way to get along and we have to understand each other. I mean, would you be talking about that with any other murderer or any other killer?
No, but I mean, this is Obama, right? It's always about understanding and reconciliation, and but we have to move forward and not think about the bad things that were done in the past. And how long is this going to go on for? That's what I'd like to know.
But there's real problem in the States right now because there are a lot of these domestic so-called terrorists that are out there, and there's a lot of right-wing radical groups, and it's a huge issue, and they have to address it.
But again, see, the problem here is that they have enablers, right, in the media. And it's not just the gullible news networks that scoop it up. You've brought attention to the conservative media like Fox News. I don't know if Glenn Beck's done anything in particular on this issue, as I haven't been following it. I'd like to know because he can always be counted on.
I'm sure he's probably cried a couple times.
Well, in the case of O'Reilly's show, basically he was confirming the Tiller, the baby killer slogan all along.
Well, in fact, on the, you know, the underneath the screen where they have the slogans, it would be Tiller, the baby killer. He also did things like he has this Jesse Waters producer that he sends to stalk people, and he stalked Dr. Tiller, again, calling him, you know, a killer. He also stalked Governor Kathleen Sebelius and asked her why she was supporting the Tiller, the killer.
Right. So in this context, we're not really looking at an isolated act because this is really part of an overall campaign.
Well, like I said, he had these shows 28 times. And this was also after Dr. Tiller had already been shot at once and had numerous death threats. So it really begs to question how much culpability someone has when they know that someone is already under threat of violence, yet they still continue with these lies.
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, there had been the shooting at the doctor already prior to his assassination, and Obama's response is pretty lackadaisical in that respect. I mean, every time there's a talk about an assassination of Obama or anything like that, it gets in the news. Because I saw on CNN, they said, we're concerned about domestic terrorists and assassination attempts on the president. We're concerned that there's a lot of crazy people that have weapons and are just waiting for a chance to shoot at Obama. He has this huge security cord, and they take it very seriously if Obama's under threat.
Well, in fact, there have been numerous arrests that have been made. Mr. Lindorf, in his article, talked about how someone took out an ad about the assassination of Obama, and that man was arrested and questioned by the FBI. Yet there are people in the mainstream media that are talking about, you know, the death of Dr. Tiller, yet, you know, they weren't questioned. There was nothing. In fact, you know, there have been a string of nine killings of abortion doctors and 17 attempts, and really nothing's been done.
So maybe if abortion doctors are under threat, it should be taken as seriously as if the president was under threat.
Yes, and specifically because there have been far more abortion doctors that have been killed than have been attempts against the president.
Yes, and well, given the news today about the shooting, and we really don't know the details yet, so we can't really say anything, but it seems that this might be an issue that just keeps coming up.
Well, yes, there was a shooting today at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, and we're not exactly sure who the killer or who the shooter was, but there have been reports that he may be part of a right-wing group, an anti-Semitic group.
And of course, we're relying on CNN at this point. So
yeah, so we're not sure. It could be anyone, you know. But it's just, it seems there have been a lot of talk from these right-wing groups, specifically now that there's a Democratic administration, and they feel that they need to go out and commit acts of violence. And I think that they have to start taking it seriously.
I agree. That's basically the way I see it, because I remember the Clinton era, and I remember there was similar talk around his time, not quite as much anger as there is with Obama being president, but I think what we're getting here is that there's organized people, and maybe they're not all together at the same time, or they're not all part of the same organizations, but there's people that are creating a climate in which it becomes acceptable to commit extreme acts.
Well, and the problem is that it's really being poo-pooed anytime anyone talks about it. In fact, I remember a couple months ago, Janet Napolitan, the Attorney General, released a report saying that there was going to, that there was these increased right-wing groups, and they were very concerned about these committing terrorist acts in America. And in this report, they also said they were worried about returning military soldiers. And the media picked up that one line and said, oh, you know, they're being so ridiculous. They're accusing our soldiers of being terrorists. And that wasn't what the report was about at all. It was saying that there are these extremist groups, and they really sort of poo-pooed it. Yet now it seems to be coming to fruition.
And of course, there are extremist groups within the U.S. military. That's been extensively documented. It's a growing problem, and it hasn't been going away. So I definitely think it's something that has to be kept an eye on. It has to be taken very seriously.
And we're not immune to it in Canada. We, there have been abortion clinics that have been bombed. There have been abortion doctors that are threatened, and there's this group here, and we have to really be cognizant about having the right information. What is late-term abortion? That these doctors are not committing murder, and you shouldn't be killing them, and we shouldn't be justifying it.
So next time we see Bill O'Reilly or Glenn Beck encouraging violence or hatred towards practitioners of abortion or anyone else that they disagree with, I think we do have to be very scared.
Yeah, we do, and I think that people need to start writing letters. They need to be angry about this, and call for maybe these people to be looked into, because I think it's somewhat criminal.
Yeah. Well, in any case, we have to get ready for our next interview, and we should be speaking about Sudan and some actual interviews with people that had been there, what came out of that and what was learned. So we're going to be coming back to that around 5-7 minutes from now, so stay tuned and we'll be with you.
Hi, this is Unusual Sources 93.3. We're back, and we're really glad to announce that we have Dave Lindorf on the phone. Dave, can you hear me right now?
I can.
Great. Brendan and I were just talking about sort of these radical elements in the States after the Tiller assassination, and how it's really hasn't been handled by either people in government or many of the media outlets. We were specifically talking about Bill O'Reilly and how he's dubbed Dr. Tiller the Killer on many shows. What kind of culpability do you think that people like Bill O'Reilly have in this?
Well, I think he certainly is guilty of incitement with the kind of statements he was making. He's got a large audience, and he and the people at Operation Rescue and others who claim to be to condemn violence are clearly saying things that would logically lead an unbalanced person or a fanatic, a Christian jihadist, if you will, to these kinds of acts of violence. If you say that somebody is a mass murderer of babies, that's a horrible thing. And, I would like to think that if I were to think that there was somebody out there just hypothetically killing 100,000 infants, that I would take action if the government wasn't taking action, and so you're telling people who believe that killing a fetus is murdering a baby and it doing it 60,000 times or whatever he was saying, you know, that you're saying it's a Holocaust and those persons are acting.
Yes, he also compared Dr. Tiller to Nazis, and
he
also said that he was, you know, performing these late-term abortions on women with just headaches and whatnot. What really surprises a lot of us in Canada is that Fox News ratings continue to increase, and Bill O'Reilly has the number one show. So is this radical element that you're talking about really just a minority?
Well, you have to distinguish who is who. I mean, not everybody that listens to Fox TV is a gun-carrying Christian jihadist, but it's certainly true that there probably are a hardcore of maybe 25% of adult Americans who are politically attuned to the message that is coming out of Fox TV, and that's the hardcore that, you know, stuck with George Bush through thick and thin as his ratings sank through the floor. That those people are there, and they're pretty coterminous with that Christian, that loony Christian right. So, and as I said, those aren't all people who'd pick up a gun and kill a doctor, but there are an element within that group that is a small number of people, but can, you know, do an awful lot of terrible things. So,
well, another thing that sort of surprises me about the media coverage is that there seem to be a lot of puff pieces just in the regular media interviewing this man, this killer, like he's a regular guy, sort of sob stories about him being in prison. Why is this? Why can't they distinguish this man? Like you talk about that, the Taliban, they wouldn't be interviewing terrorists, regular terrorists like this. Why does there seem to be a difference with these sort of radical terrorists?
Well, you're absolutely right. There is no difference. This is I did a piece in which I said that that people like this and the people who encourage them are the American equivalent of the Taliban. They're people who are so fanatic and so obsessed with their religious dogma that they're willing to kill and indiscriminately kill and harm innocents, even, because they've bombed clinics, they've done not just targeted the doctors, they've targeted the women, they've targeted the workers at the clinics who aren't actually doing the abortion procedures. They've killed guards who have just been people getting paid to do a job guarding a clinic against firebombings. And so there's this mentality that is really not any different from the one that we're supposedly combating overseas.
Well, in your article, you also mention President Obama's sort of lackadaisical response to the assassination. Why do you believe the government is sort of complicit in these attacks, and why aren't they doing more to stop these radical elements in the United States?
Well, I think complicit's too strong a word. I think what it is gutlessness. I drew a parallel between the Obama response and the response of the Pakistani government in recent years to the expansion of religious fundamentalist fanaticism within Pakistan. They were afraid to confront it and to challenge it because some of them actually found it useful, which is true of our Republican Party. Them were afraid to confront it, like those in the Democratic Party, and so they soft-pedaled their opposition to it, and that's what Obama's done. And this is not something. This is something that you have to confront directly, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't say that these are, that this is a fanatic opposition that has to be condemned. He doesn't do it. He condemns the killing, but he doesn't condemn the people who like O'Reilly and like Operation Rescue, whose rhetoric is actually inciting this kind of behavior.
You also mentioned in your article that this is the ninth in a string of murders of abortion doctors across the country, and you state that there's also 17 attempted murders.
Yeah, that's since, I think that dates from 70. If my numbers are right, it dates from 73 when abortion was legalized nationally.
So do you see any end to this violence?
No. In fact, I think that there is and a couple of people have written about this, I think that there is a inverse relationship between the power of the anti-abortion argument legally and the amount of violence that's precipitated against those who actually perform abortions, so that, you know, as the courts uphold abortion laws and as the abortion right becomes more and more supported by the government, because we do have now a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president who are going to keep abortion legal, then what happens is the anti-abortion movement becomes more fanatic, more obsessed, and more frustrated, and the violent element comes more to the fore. And that has been true. That was true during the Clinton years, when there also was a government that was more committed to protecting women's right to an abortion. And it happened another time, you know, going back in 73, the first violence came after the Supreme Court ruled that abortion was a right. So I think we can, to the extent that the government protects the right of women to have abortions and to control their own bodies, we will see more of this violence against the clinics and against the practitioners.
Well, and I think you make a really good point in your article as well, that these people just really have this intense hatred towards women, that they spread these lies that, you know, like every woman is going to be running to an abortion clinic, you know, at their 8 months stage of pregnancy. They just, it's a lot of rhetoric that is so inaccurate, and it's really surprising that it's allowed, that people haven't sued them for defamation.
Well, fortunately, we have better laws than that than you have in Canada. I've had experience with the British common law system on defamation and libel, and things that you could do there, we can't do here, and that I think is to the good. The one point I do want to make, and that is that, and this is left out of the argument a lot. I speak from experience, because before my wife and I got married way back in 1970, she was pregnant and had to get an abortion. And in order for that to be done, we had to find a way to do it in a safe manner when it wasn't legal, and believe me, it was really, really hard. And we had to reject a couple of things that we found, at the last minute, because we realized they weren't safe, and not everybody did that. And after she graduated from college, the first job she got was working for Planned Parenthood in New York, the world headquarters of Planned Parenthood, which was doing a study of the new legalized abortion in the state of New York. And what they did was they took a look at the first full year after abortions were legalized in New York, the only state in the United States where they were legal on demand, because this was pre-Roe. And what they found, and she was a participant in the study, helped to write it, what they found was that in the year prior and the year after the abortion was legalized in New York, the number of live births in New York State remained exactly the same. Well, and the result, the conclusion that you reach from that is that the exact same number of abortions were being performed before and after legalization. Ergo, everybody who wanted to get an abortion was getting them, but they were being done illegally.
And a lot of women died.
And by or by they were either being done by themselves, you know, self-induced, or they were being done by, you know, back alley jobs. And the proof of the pudding in that was that the other thing they got statistics on was the number of admissions to hospital emergency rooms for the various conditions that come as a result of botched or self-induced or illegal abortions, which were perforated uteruses, infections of uteruses, and those kinds of things. And what they found there was that there were huge numbers of these in the year prior, and they almost disappeared in the year following. So when you put those two things together, what you're saying is, and this is an argument I just never hear made, that people who say that they oppose abortion because they think that killing fetuses is murder are simply failing to admit the reality that every one of those fetuses is going to die anyway, but the difference is the mothers won't, or they won't be injured in ways that can be permanent.
Well, exactly. And
so it's a bogus argument. It's like, I don't want abortions to happen with my tax dollars, but you can't say that you're stopping babies from being killed or anything like that.
Well, exactly. And specifically in the case of Dr. Tiller, a lot of those babies were already dead. They were stillborn. And you make an excellent argument. And thank you so much, Dave, for being with us today. We're really glad that we got to speak to you, and we'd love to have you on the program again.
Anytime. And I'll
And is there
be
is,
here next time.
Yeah, no, great. And we also, we're big fans of you on Counterpunch, and we're just wondering, do you have any new articles coming out or books that you'd like to talk about quickly?
Not a book. I'm working on some proposals for books, but I have an article which will come out tomorrow talking about the wheels falling off the Obama recovery plan.
Great. Well, we'd love to have you again on the show.
Can I say that people can get articles of mine that are on Counterpunch, but also some that don't get on Counterpunch on my website, which is thiscan'tbehappening.net?
Great. Well, I'm sure our listeners will go over there and have a read. And again, lovely having you on the show, and we'll talk to you again later. And now Brendan's going to be coming up with an interview about the Sudan. This is CFMU 93.3.